AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Sven Sundgaard is kind enough to join us on your Thursday as we get ready for New Year's. Patreon is where you'll find his great weather forecast information. And as a matter of fact, I want to once again, if you still are needing a holiday gift idea, the Sven Sundgaard page at Patreon, great weather content that if you are a fan of weather or if you've got someone that likes to keep on top of it, it's a great gift idea. Patreon.com/Sven Sundgaard. Sven Sundgaard, kind enough to join us to talk about the weather. Hi, Sven.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I saw something that shocked me, and I'm actually starting to wonder how bad this was overall. 20 total tornadoes hit Minnesota. I think that's the official count now, correct?
I believe so. But, yeah, I'm actually in the same boat as anybody else's. Every time I go back and look, there's more. So I'm not entirely sure. Well, but yeah, we know it's over a dozen for sure. It was at 16 at one point, and yeah, there are numerous surveys, obviously in some remote rural areas, and so that keeps slowly adding to the count because it wasn't just within the Twin Cities, you know, the Chanhassen, the Twin Cities National Weather Service forecast area, but also La Crosse. So those two offices have been coordinating that whole southeastern Minnesota area.
How does that compare to a tornado outbreak that might happen, say, in April, May in Minnesota? I mean, is it 20 seems like a lot, and I can't remember, and maybe I'm just being naive, I can't remember the last time I remember a swarm of tornadoes like that.
Yeah, no, 20 tornadoes in Minnesota would be a notable outbreak at any point. And people might remember, if they're at all weather enthusiasts, especially if they like severe weather, a lot of people do, or get excited about it. This was a pretty blah year, thanks to the drought. It was hot, but we didn't have a whole lot of severe weather. So this far outdid anything we had all summer, which is, you know, check off the box in itself right there. So, yeah, this would be a notable event. But in terms of, you asked the questionable, and of course, I have to throw out there right away, there's no precedent for this even. There's one tornado in December has never happened, let alone 20. So, you know, there's what can we compare it to? Nothing. You can't compare. I don't know. I'm still, you know, 2 weeks later, I'm still mind blown by that December 15th day. It's just, you know, we talked about it on our chat that aired, I think, last week about sort of the climate picture. That this is just off the charts stuff that was impossible without us warming the planet, even a couple degrees, you know, and we have to put that into perspective. I know it's difficult for the average person to understand, well, okay, what 1, 2, 3 degrees doesn't sound like much, but it does have a huge implication for those extreme events.
And 2 points about that. One, that was the interview. We've aired it twice on the Brand New to You shows. That interview with Sven, where we talk about climate change, that's available on the podcast sites, iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and, of course, AM950radio.com. You can find it there. I'll make sure I post that again. But as well, as you bring that up, let's go to Colorado right now, where there is it's December 30th. And there are wildfires tearing across Colorado as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
100 mile, and was it south of Boulder? 100 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is, and they're in a snow drought too. I mean, which is not as exciting, but it just gives you a picture of what's going on for parts of the area. We've been on the edge of that beneficiary of very mild air, but it's been even warmer. Basically along the eastern edge of the Rockies, because once you get to the west coast and up towards Alaska, the last couple of months have been colder and wetter than normal. And I was actually out in California last week and posted a little bit about this, but I actually got to see firsthand the incredible amounts of moisture that they've seen. So what's bizarre is Colorado and the Intermountain West lingers into the extreme, you know, multi-year drought that they've been in, and California still is overall too, but they've made up some huge progress just in the last 2 weeks. Parts of the Sierra Nevada have seen over 14 inches of water equivalent in the last 2 weeks. And wow. Of course, most of that's fallen to snow. So you can imagine how much snow that is. And that's more critical actually than rain, let's say, in Los Angeles, because what really fills up the reservoirs in California, and this is true all through the West, is it's that Rocky Mountain snow. You want a good deep snowpack because in the spring that slowly melts and fills up the rivers, fills up the reservoirs. That is the reason that the Colorado River is so low, that Lake Mead is so low, and all through the West, any reservoir, river, man-made lake, whatever, what have you, is so low, as there's is just been this extreme lack of moisture, but also that snowpack. This is the time of year that the West gets their moisture. You know, they have dry and wet seasons. It's different than what we think of as seasons in Minnesota. You get rain or snow in the winter, and then the rest of the year, it just doesn't do a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. And you, by the way, you brought up the heavy snowfall. Is it Tahoe? They have parts of Tahoe that they've just closed the roads and said stay home because they can't keep up with it.
Yeah, we had when we were out there, we were going to try to connect with a couple of friends of ours who live in LA but went to Tahoe for Christmas and couldn't get back because they're stuck.
Wow.
Because that was the middle of that, 3 feet of snow per day kind of event that they had there. Wow. Imagine that.
I love how you describe the jet stream, and it's the river. And what I mean by that is that when we go into this winter, what happens is that river kind of starts moving south. And when it's over us, well, we all of a sudden get storms like we have this week. And now it seems like am I crazy, or is that jet stream moved fairly quickly where it was north of us? And now all of a sudden we got storms this week. And now we were looking at the storm that's going to be coming through on Saturday. But now it seems like that river has pushed even further south. And so now, like it was last year, where all the storms went through Iowa and we kind of got missed by a lot of them. Is that what happened? Are you looking at this as you look at these maps, that river has actually shifted further south very quickly?
Yeah, too quickly. Okay. And, you know, normally we want to see a gradual change in the jet stream, or at least it kind of goes, you know, it goes back and forth. It oscillates as it moves south or north. And we just were so incredibly mild where that, you know, the polar jet stream was north of us and all of a sudden it just dives south. And that's why earlier in the week, last weekend and right up till Monday, it looked like we were in for maybe a good New Year's Day snowstorm, which would be fun. You know, everybody's home anyway or hung over or whatever, just watch it fall. But then all of a sudden by Tuesday, it was south of us. And that's where it remains because this blast of Arctic air coming into the weekend now is moving quicker than it looked several days ago. And this is what's still exciting about passing is, as amazing as our computer models and satellite data are, the one thing that can throw it off still for a place like Minnesota is cold air in the middle of winter. It just doesn't catch into the models real well because the only way to visualize this is to look at where we have automated sensors, surface observing sensors throughout the continent, and it pretty much overlaps with where there are population centers because they're mostly at airports, whether they're municipal airports or busy international airports. Every airport has to have a weather station, right? Mm-hmm. And you look through Canada and there's this huge expanse. For example, across Manitoba, there you can go hundreds of miles between weather stations. So what happens sometimes is these chunks of cold air don't even get caught by the computer models until they hit a sensor. So sometimes, you know, even in 2021, all of a sudden cold air can just appear, or the speed of it changes because, oh, wait, this thing's bigger and moving quicker than we thought. And if it's under cloud cover, which happens early in the winter, just kind of like November is here, it can be very cloudy. And then our satellites can't pick up how cold the air is under those clouds in the Northwest Territories or over Hudson Bay until it gets into clear air or again, hits one of those surface sensors. So it can make winter forecasting exciting because sometimes we can see a quick change at a last minute notice until you basically get into southern Canada where we have more sensors.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's coming at us, is this big globule of cold air is shooting down, and that's pushed the river south, and that's why it sucks to be Iowa. they're going to get hammered, and it does
or
look
it's
like
good to be Iowa. Snow lovers are kind of pissed off because, you know, it looked good for that one day. We had a foot of snow. We lost it, of course, and then, you know, it looks, you know, last week at this time we were looking at Sunday, Tuesday, and then a New Year's Day snowfall, and thinking, wow, you know, we're really going to finally push up that snowpack. And it's just been for the Twin Cities specifically, one disappointment after another. The snow went mostly north Sunday. They had ice and rain south. And even in the Twin Cities, we had that layer of ice over the little snow we had. And then Tuesday snow had a pocket of snow to our north and to our south, but not so much here. And now we're just completely missing the New Year's Day storm. So, yeah, snow lovers are would like that. This is, to get back to our first point here, it's just the track of everything moved too quickly, and now we're getting nothing except the cold.
I also want to give you full credit on something. You were the only meteorologist I heard in this town who talked about on that second storm. You were talking about that there is that layer of really dry air. And you said if that stretches into the Twin Cities, that's going to cut our snowfall dramatically. And yeah. That's exactly what seemed to happen. You caught that where, and that's just weird. It's just like low level air pocket that's just really dry, so that anything comes into it just dries and evaporates immediately.
Yeah, well, so what you gotta imagine is these, any area of low pressure in the northern hemisphere rotates counterclockwise. And so what was happening is you had that dry, cold air that we saw Wednesday morning, right? Our first sub-zero reading of the season, was racing in behind the system. And so you want the perfect timing of having that cold air moving in to push warmer, more moist air up above it to produce the clouds and the snow, but you don't want it to move too quickly because then it shuts off the whole system. Which is why southwestern Minnesota saw almost no snow. But yeah, it moved in a little too quick here, and a couple models did catch that the day before. You're referring to, I showed even some of the forecast, you know, upper air three-dimensional views of the atmosphere where there was some dry air there, and I was like, this could, you know, because I want snow at this point, and I was like, this could be another not-so-great snow event for us. And it turned out, yeah, 1 to 2 inches here, but north and east of here, that's why north and east, they did see a lot more snow, you know, places like La Crosse and Rochester and into southwestern Wisconsin saw a half foot of snow. And then they saw another half foot in northern Minnesota on top of the, you know, 18 inches that they saw in some places Sunday night.
It is amazing about that is it's, and this is, and one of the reasons why I want everyone to go subscribe to Patreon. That's a great catch. And I think that sometimes I think weather people don't want to make sure you mention something like that because, you know, you want kind of, oh, we want the white Christmas. We want this. And the reality is the science just doesn't lie. And I love how you're a big science guy. And I love that because the science doesn't lie. And if there's that dry air there, it's going to cut it. Yeah, it is not making for the greatest cross-country skiing season yet, that's for sure.
Well, you know, yeah, no, and I'm like, if it's going to be cold, I at least want something to do out there.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise that's when cabin fever really sets in. But, yeah, to that point, so, you know, where I go more in-depth in my subscriber content is I have the time and the leisure to go into explaining all the different model scenarios and, you know, what could happen because every forecast is a series of scenarios and you're picking up the most probable route. But I think it's important to explain, okay, here we have 10 different possibilities. This is the most likely route, but this could also happen. You know, and that's in defense of your average TV weather person, they only get 2.5 minutes sometimes. So
yeah, true.
you don't have a lot of room to get into anything other than the final numbers.
This weekend, as we get into this, I mean, we're getting this cold blast. You are though, once again, as the science goes, we need to have an extended cold period for the Minnesota climate to work. Are we going to be getting enough cold here in the next few weeks to where we're going to get those normal temperatures and things are going to kind of get back into cycle?
Yeah, I don't know about that here in the Twin Cities. You know, northern Minnesota, the problem is with these cold snaps is each time, you know, like, yes, yesterday was 7 below 0, but it came 3 weeks later than it would have historically. A century ago, we would have had a number of sub-zero nights by this point, and they would have been colder, of course. This is going to go down as a mild December, not as warm as it could have been, with that middle of the month warmth, thanks to some of this, you know, fourth quarter cold that's coming in. But we just don't get as cold as we used to. And I want to encourage people to go back and listen to our climate talk, as you just mentioned too, because first of all, I go way more in depth as to why we know statistically that December tornadoes are basically impossible other than changing the dials on the climate as we have. But it's the same thing with why our extreme cold has disappeared. We talk a lot about the extreme heat, of course, but when you move the whole pile of data over a little bit, you exponentially add to the extreme warm side of things, and you exponentially chop off the cold side of things. And that's what's happening. You know, I think we talked about in that talk, and if we haven't, I'll mention it again now. But for example, emerald ash borer, you know, the larvae begin to freeze and die when we reach 20 below. Well, that almost never happens in the Twin Cities anymore. And their survival is basically impossible when you reach 30 below. And even that is less and less likely to happen, except for in pockets of course, you know, the Iron Range and parts of northwestern Minnesota. We're not talking wind chill. It has to be the actual temperature because they burrow under the bark. They're fine. Wind chill doesn't affect them. We need actual air temperatures. The Twin Cities hasn't been 30 below since 1996. And historically, I was just talking because my brother is a biologist. His background, this is where we can be fun, and you can either be bored out of your mind or really into the nerdiness of him talking about wildlife ecology and me talking about climate together. Because this is where, if you don't believe the temperatures, look at a moose, look at the emerald ash borer, look at all these other things. The evidence of everything changing is right there. So 30 below zero, for example, it used to happen historically once every 3 years. So it was not a common event, but you could count on every few years, the coldest night of the winter would hit 30 below. Now we're at a once in a 35-year pace. So it's been 25 years. Statistically, we'd be due for another 30 below in 10 years. So it still will happen. And so that's why, you know, people are like, oh, hey, so much for climate change. No, I'm almost sure we will hit 30 below again sometime in the next 10, 20 years. But it will be once instead of where it should have been every few years. And so, so when we're looking at things like invasive species, you know, our native ash trees, they can handle an emerald ash borer outbreak as long as it's 30 below every 3 years, wiping out that thing. You're going to lose some, but the majority can handle it. But when we're talking having to wait 10, 20, 30 years for that kind of cold, this is where the biology and climate intersect, and why we see the retreat of certain plant and tree species and invasive species take hold that shouldn't otherwise have to. I mean, it's the part of the problem is we're bringing in a species that shouldn't be here anyway, but then because of the changing climate, it's actually able to survive here.
The kudzu effect. All right. So quickly here, we the weather forecast for the New Year's.
It's going to be cold. and with COVID basically everywhere right now, a really good option to stay in with just your closest family. I posted something about, it's going to be so cold, nobody's going to do anything outside. But I had a lot of people say they plan to do some outdoor events. So obviously that's safe as long as you're bundled up and have the hand warmers. But, we're talking about it's going to be probably at or below zero by midnight tomorrow night. The wind chill, though, is going to be 15 to 20 below by that point. And we're just not used to that yet, of course. This will only be our second time below zero this season. And then the weekend is just going to be plain cold. Saturday, we'll be lucky to get above zero. I think in the Twin Cities, we might do it by a degree or two, but most of the state will stay below zero. And Sunday morning will be our coldest morning so far this season, coldest since the middle of last February. We're talking the potential for teens below zero, which is an increasingly rare thing to do. You know, in the last 10 years of the most recent, you know, records, that only happens a couple times in the winter. So this could be one of the coldest nights of the whole winter. Unless we're in for a doozy, which I hope we are, because, you know, climate change is scary enough. It'd be nice to have a little normal weather for a while. But regardless, it's going to be cold. But it's short-lived. By Monday, Tuesday, we're back in the 20s already. So, and we all know how that goes. It'll feel like 50 after what we've gotten through this weekend.
Sven Sundgaard, patreon.com/Sven Sundgaard. Sven, thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Sorry. I should mention where there's going to be a narrow area of snow tomorrow, too, along that Arctic front. We're talking about a 50-mile swath of 1 to 4 inches. It looks like it's going to set up between St. Cloud and the Twin Cities, but don't be shocked if it shifts just a little bit. Either way, plan on a slippery, very fluffy, at least half inch of snow along that front that'll happen quick before the cold sets in.
Thanks, Sven. We'll talk to you soon. We'll take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.